Hey there, everybody. Before we get the show started, wanted to let you know about ProWrestling.net membership. If you like what we do on the free podcast, there is so much more on the membership side I would love for you to check out, including ProWrestling.net Weekly. I'm actually about to sit down with Jason Powell, talk about all the news and notes of the week. Jason usually slips in some news bits you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's a great show. You also get ad-free access to the site and so much more. Also, if you're not into the membership thing and just want to support us in your own way, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a retweet when the show comes out every day. Let us know that you're listening, and please let us know that you like us, or let us know why you don't like us. Either way, really. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the show. This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will. He's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, the new generation of talent in the WWE. So, Jake, I look at Raw right now and I'm shocked by something. You could have completely skipped WrestleMania and it probably would not matter, aside from the fact that you wouldn't have watched Roman Reigns win the championship, and you would go, oh, there's a new ladies' belt, neat. Nothing that happened at WrestleMania matters a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, it started with, you know, Vince putting Shane in charge of the show, despite the stipulation changing, and then, you know, Shane going in charge seemed to, you know, set everything else into motion in terms of people moving away from their pre-WrestleMania storylines into something completely different. We got a new number one contender. We got some major debuts. We got some, you know, major changes in the number one contender picture. AJ Styles, you know, against all odds, apparently, is the first guy that's going to get a shot at the new champion, Roman Reigns. I mean, it's been a big couple of weeks, and every major change has been essentially a 180 degree turn away from where they were at WrestleMania. And I can't blame them, really. I mean, it seemed like they were limping as best they could just to make that show happen, and that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't wait at that point to just completely unhinge from that direction, because it was getting them nowhere. I mean, nobody was happy with the build of WrestleMania. I mean, not many people were particularly happy with that show, and I think the Raw after WrestleMania needed to be a huge departure, and I guess, you know, the direction of that departure was debated fairly heavily, but I think what we've been getting has been positive, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, it's interesting, because what we're seeing a lot of is new talent being pushed. Obviously, they've called up a treasure trove of mid-carders from the NXT roster to fill out the WWE roster, which is important because so many guys were hurt. But we're also seeing talent put in better positions. I think they've done more with Sami Zayn in the 2 weeks since WrestleMania than they did in the month he was on the main roster headed into WrestleMania. It kind of seemed like he got to the main roster and they said, okay, well, you got this thing with Kevin Owens and we're going to do some of that, but it's not something we can really do a ton with. So just do a little. And now it looks like we're getting a full-fledged Zayn and Owens story, and that's awesome. We're also seeing that interact with the world title picture a little bit, where we've got AJ Styles, of all people, another guy who hasn't been on the WWE roster for even 6 months. Well, he's about to main event a pay-per-view, and WWE is pushing him like he is a super talented wrestler. I mean, yes, he lost at WrestleMania, which again shows why WrestleMania was not important. But I look at it all and I go, wow, this is the first year that I can remember where WrestleMania seemed like possibly the least important major WWE show in a long time as far as the stories they told. And I credit a lot of that to spending a great deal of that WrestleMania show putting over part-time and legacy talent instead of putting over the full-time main roster stars. You got to Monday, and especially this past Monday, who did they have? Well, okay, well, we have to do something with Sammy and Kevin now. We don't have The Rock to feature. We don't have Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley, and Steve Austin to feature. You know, we don't have these guys. We've got to make do with what we've got. And I think the main roster is actually doing a really good job and creating an interesting and delightful show with the new pieces they have to play with.
Well, I think it's the pieces that most people want to see. I think WrestleMania has a particular audience, and WWE does its best to try to entertain everybody who's watching that show, whether they're a lapsed fan who just comes back for WrestleMania once a year, or, you know, there's somebody that is not a wrestling fan who is just enamored with the idea or brought into it by a friend who's a fan of the show, or, you know, they try to bring in personalities that everybody recognizes. And I think this year's WrestleMania was even more under scrutiny in terms of being the biggest one ever, having so many injuries on the WWE main roster. I think they felt like they just had to, pull out all of the cards that they had in the deck that they could play and just throw them out there just to make the show feel big. And the result was that a lot of the stuff that they probably wanted to do with new stars ended up getting pushed aside for the Monday after the show. And when we got what we got in Dallas on Sunday night, and looking back on it, it's like, man, that show did feel, you know, absolutely minimized by the time, you know, you're 2 weeks away. I mean, in the moment, it wasn't that great, but there were definitely things on that show that I enjoyed. I mean, it's nice to see all those old stars come back and have a moment at WrestleMania, but it's not something that you can really build an entire show around. And I feel like with injuries, they really felt like they didn't have much of a choice. And it's unfortunate, but that's the hand that I think that they were dealt. But it felt like almost a show that took place in an alternate universe by the time, you know, we're 2 weeks removed and then two episodes of Raw later, just because of how different Raw feels than what we saw not only leading up to WrestleMania, but on that show. It feels like Bizarro World, but in comparison.
So I'm curious, how do you grade, or how would you necessarily deal with that, you know, that huge array of injuries that they had? We saw what WWE did, and a lot of it was, okay, cool, well, we're going to do this show, we're going to make something out of the pieces we have, and then we're going to call up a bunch of new talent to help fill out the roster over the next week. Is that how you would deal with it, given kind of the options available, knowing that, hey, we've got to put some legacy stars on WrestleMania and make this mainstream acceptable? You can't just be like, screw it, I'd put Nakamura in the main event and have someone no one really knows in the broader sense of things in U.S. pop culture, and try, you know, when WWE is trying to make it a pop culture spectacle. But how would you deal with what WWE dealt with, all of those injuries, all of those things? Do you think they did the best they could?
You know, I think they, even though they probably made some good decisions in terms of making it mainstream friendly by bringing back some of the old stars, I mean, there's still somebody 10 years from now that's going to look at WrestleMania 32 and go, there was a Rock and Eric Rowan match? What? And there's some people that are going to be like, why did all these people that are, you know, that were huge stars on the main roster get jobbed out apparently for no reason? You know, New Day took a loss for some unexplained reason, and you had AJ Styles lose, and you had the, you know, unpopular main event go way too long, and you had Shane McMahon dive off the top of a Hell in a Cell for some unexplainable reason, you know, just to, I mean, looking back on it, it's like, that was like, you know, a midlife crisis main event. Like, it was, it felt engineered so that Shane could have a moment with his kids and have a fall off the top of the cell. Like, there's almost no point to that encounter now that they've completely abandoned the stipulation. You know, it feels very contrived. So, I mean, I think they did an okay job just to make the show watchable for a mainstream person who might not follow the show that closely. But I think wrestling fans are still going to look back on WrestleMania 32 with a lot of confusion.
Yeah, that's kind of the most puzzling thing, is none of those stipulations matter coming out of WrestleMania. Literally nothing that happened at WrestleMania is all that important, which is strange. I mean, and I'm someone who argues Roman Reigns probably just should have won the title the night after TLC and kept it through the Rumble, either defended it at the Rumble or defended it in the Royal Rumble match. And I would have kept the title on Reigns, or not even the night after TLC. I would have had Sheamus fail at cashing in Money in the Bank. Like, I would have done Roman beats Sheamus that night at Survivor Series. He's cemented as the guy. Nothing you can do about it. They have their TLC main event. And I would have ridden with Roman all the way into WrestleMania and then had him beat Triple H, simply because I think all the flip-flopping around of the title was unnecessary and kind of weird and not the ideal situation with which to present your world champion and with which to present this guy that you want to build around in Roman Reigns. I look at all of that and go, wow, they needed something fresh and new, though. They needed everything they're doing, and they could have brought that in a lot earlier. I understand why part-timers are put over at WrestleMania. I totally get it. But at the same time, when your product is in desperate need of something fresh and you're sitting there on all of these great ideas for the month after WrestleMania, maybe just bump some of those up. Maybe find a way. I think WWE could have told the story of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens more effectively going into WrestleMania and probably given them a singles match. I think you could have done a little bit more with AJ Styles going in. You could have done a little bit more with a lot of the guys in that ladder match, to be completely honest. I think it was a seven-way wash as far as what they did to make people feel important on that show, including, I think, just bringing Maryse back earlier for The Miz, because she's been a breath of fresh air for The Miz character. But how do you think the new talent's doing? I mean, half the show right now feels like it's new talent, with Baron Corbin, Apollo Crews, the Vaudevillains, Enzo and Cass, Maryse coming back. You've got all of these new folks taking up time. You've got also just, you know, hey, we're getting to know AJ Styles on a main event level. We're getting to know Sami Zayn on a major level. We're seeing these new pieces fall into place, and what really feels like a new generation of talent in WWE get a chance to shine. How are they doing? You know, we're 2 weeks into this experiment. Is it it's a lot of wrestlers that I know you and I like. Is WWE doing well by them?
I think so. I think thus far, you know, there's a couple things that I guess I wish they would do better, which is like with guys like Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin especially. Like, I want to know more about them, you know, from a personality standpoint. I want to know what their motivation is, and I think we beat this to death every time somebody debuts, and especially back last summer when the Divas Revolution was happening. It's just like, why do we not know more about these people before they debut, and why don't we get more, you know, from a personality standpoint from them individually while they're on screen? It feels like there's a lot of wasted effort putting them out in the ring and just having them work through their stuff, and we don't really get to learn more about why they're there and what they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing. And I think that's an important part about getting people to invest in it, because I can see Apollo Crews do a million standing, you know, backflips and you know, his cool spin out, sit out, power bomb, and that whole business. But I you know, unless I know exactly who he is and what he's about, I don't invest in him on the level that I would a guy like Sami Zayn, who, you know, we all went on a journey with in NXT and now, you know, is breaking into the main roster. I mean, I'm not nearly as invested in Crews as I am in Sami, or even AJ Styles, who, you know, we watched for years in TNA and then have a breakout year in New Japan. And I'm really excited about, you know, the possibility of him actually showing his stuff at the main event level in WWE. And I think they're doing a very good job of covering for what I think most people view as his shortcomings on the microphone. He's been given rather short, you know, simple promos to give, and he's delivered them well. So I think they're doing some things well, but I think they still have a lot to do, you know, from a storytelling perspective with a lot of these new talents.
I would agree with that. I think from a storytelling perspective, they have a lot more that they can do. They have methods of telling stories that they don't seem to be using to the fullest potential. And that really, really worries me when I look at the long-term ramifications of it. When I look at the idea that in 5 or 10 years, you're going to want to know these guys well. And if Apollo Crews is still, hey, he smiles and does standing backflips, well, then I think they've failed. And we're 2 weeks in, and I know they have a library of footage on Crews. And I want them to tell Apollo Crews's story more than this guy does backflips. Don't get me wrong. What makes him impressive at first is that he does backflips, but I want to see them tell the stories of these characters. I thought the Baron Corbin video package on Raw was actually a delight in that. They said they basically said he's a big bad guy. He's here to conquer. Like they made him look like a bad person in that too. And I thought that was a good step in the direction that we're talking about. And hopefully we get it for Crews really soon, because I would hate to see Apollo Crews fall into that Tyler Breeze realm of, oh, we'll do a little, never mind. We don't care about Breeze. Let's go. Because I think that's been one of the more depressing stories on the WWE main roster this year.
They're characters that require explanation. I mean, it's not like, you know, Enzo and Cass, who they appear and they have catchphrases and they have, you know, this magnetic charisma, like in the case of Enzo. And, you walk out, or, you know, Enzo walks out and he says 5 sentences and you know exactly what he's about.
Yes, I think Enzo might be the best NXT call up WWE has ever had. That is a pure NXT product, not, oh, well, he's Sami Zayn and he was El Generico on the Indies, allegedly, and he built up this thing. No, it's Kevin Owens, who is doing the act he did everywhere else perfectly and fantastically. I think Enzo might be the best pure thing NXT has ever produced. He's awesome.
I think that's a fair statement. And I think it's a testament to their system that a guy, can get the opportunity to grow. Because when he first started, like he wasn't nearly, I mean, he was okay on the microphone. He was clearly a gifted trash talker, but he was nowhere near as polished as he is now. And he's developed from a guy who really wasn't any good in the ring to somebody who's passable and can, be a solid contributor to a tag team that I think will have championship aspirations on the main roster. So it's a testament to how good they can be in the Performance Center with, the amount of talent that they have there and experience that somebody can essentially come in and become a product of theirs and have a major impact the first night that they appear on Raw. I mean, that's a big deal, because a lot of these guys that have come through in the indies have needed years in developmental, and when they show up on the main roster, they're still not nearly as polished on the microphone as somebody like Enzo. So I agree, he's been a call up and a major success from night one, and that's big. But some of these other characters that require more explanation are going to need video packages and promo time and the right opponents for a couple of months before they get tossed into a major feud. Otherwise, it could be something where you're setting somebody up for failure.
And I think that's the biggest fear with what WWE has done with a lot of main roster call-ups in the past, is setting guys up for failure. And I wonder if the vaudevillains are there. I wonder about a number of guys, if that's what's going on. But I don't fear for Enzo and Cass. I think they were the most main roster ready act that got called up. And I look at them and I see them as guys who I think will be even better on the main roster than they were in NXT, which is crazy. I should ask with this, what's the thing you're most excited for with all of this new talent and on Raw with this kind of new generation taking over? What's the thing you're most excited for in the next year?
Nakamura? No, I mean, obviously, there's guys like Sammy, there's guys like AJ. I guess it seemed like, based on how much wrestling and the quality of the wrestling that we saw on Monday and how they had that backstage segment, where Shane essentially, was like an online wrestling fan marking out for a match. It seems like that's going to be a focus. And I think that's one thing, if you could point to anything that independent wrestling has always had on WWE. It's that, you know, the style of wrestling and the match quality, you know, for hardcore fans, I think was a step above. And I think now with all this talent that WWE has essentially imported from the independent scene, and you know, you combine that with some of WWE's homegrown talents, I think the general work rate in WWE is going to continue to ramp up at a remarkable pace. And I think that's something worth looking forward to, especially, you know, as we get further into the year and, you know, now we have a lot more tag teams on the main roster, and
that we have double digit tag teams.
Yeah, that style is going to probably have something of a renaissance. And, you know, guys like Nakamura, who I think were probably going to appear on the main roster at some point this year. You know, it seemed like WWE's opinion on Sami Zayn essentially turned 180 degrees after Vince saw that match between Zayn and Nakamura over WrestleMania weekend. And he got a major push that following Monday. So I think we're going to see WWE's approach to talent sort of adopt a very different angle going forward. We're going to see a much more wrestling focused show, at least if the last few weeks are any indication.
Yeah. I just look at the potential matches that we have and I see AJ Styles out there still capable of having world-class amazing matches. Well, hell, there are a bunch of guys that he's never gotten to wrestle that he can do it with. I mean, we're going to get AJ Styles and Cesaro in a singles match at some point, and it's going to be amazing. I look at John Cena's return and where he fits in with this. That might be what I'm looking forward to most. If work rate John returns, you know, if John Cena is like, oh, by the way, still capable of having the best matches in the world, as long as you don't mind called spots and a couple botches.
I think his feud with Reigns is going to be very interesting to watch.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Yeah, I think when Cena goes up against Reigns, it's going to be super interesting. I could see Cena getting inserted into that, like, Cesaro Owens Styles picture. I mean, Kevin Owens or John Cena versus AJ Styles is a thing that's going to happen. Same thing like Nakamura, of course, getting called up, and John Cena and Nakamura, I've gone on record saying I'm traveling to that when it happens, because no matter where it is, it's going to have the coolest crowd atmosphere ever. It's just going to be something out of this world. There are so many things to look forward to in WWE. I'm weirdly optimistic. I left WrestleMania, that 7-hour show that was hell to get into, and all of that. I left it on a really down note, even on our audio. And I said the next day that I thought the grade I gave it on our audio review was a little unfair. But even in our audio, I think I was like the negativist, if that's a word, the most negative on the show. And I was down in general about the WWE product. And two Raws later, I'm sitting here like, woo, wrestling is great. And I'm kind of amazed by that and really happy to see WWE go in the direction they have.
Yeah, I mean, it offers a lot more window for optimism than what you would have expected coming out of WrestleMania. And I think it was a necessary change. I mean, this is the time of the year typically where, you know, there's sort of this lull in people watching wrestling because WWE just sort of kind of takes a break from the post-WrestleMania hangover. But I don't think they had have that luxury this year because WrestleMania didn't really deliver the goods and they didn't really have the talent on hand to do so. And
it's like they're truly rebuilding this year.
Yeah, it's like a sports team having a rebuilding year. And now that they've sort of set the stage with these past two Raws, now, you know, as months go by, they're going to be picking up even more of this injured talent that's coming back. And a lot of them are, you know, people that are really major contributors to the show, the Seth Rollins and the John Cenas of the world. And now that we have Cesaro back, I mean, the core talent that's on the main roster is insane.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to wrap it up for today, Jake. You and I will get together again at some point and talk about things. But yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. Let's all go out there and celebrate wrestling and how great it is. Yeah, have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!